Luba Mayakiso joining us on the line from Cape Town. Luba, very good morning. How are you?
Morning, how?
So we, as always, have got into quite a difficult conversation here. We're talking about gender roles. We've had this conversation as well with you, especially on Women's Day. We spoke about this and just how absolutely challenging it is to try and balance the two or the multiple factors. It's just not easy.
No, it's not. And it's become very complicated in our country. I'm not quite sure why. I think it's something that we need to talk more about. But for me, the challenge is that it always puts the state in conflict with the family, especially if you're religiously inclined. And I think society doesn't make space today for you as a parent, as in, you know, your belief system, what you want to raise your child as and what you want to instill in your children. That's where I struggle. You know, I'm all for people enjoying their freedoms, but Nobody should prescribe to me how I should raise my kid. And I think the whole fluidity is very confusing because it's starting far too early and the kids just cannot get their mind around it and they're rudderless.
I absolutely agree, and I think that's a very good point, I think a lot of our free choice is being removed by the collective, and the collective is very powerful because it's a lot of American media, it's a lot of very, very strong influences that are making sure that everybody conforms to a certain style of behavior.
Yeah, it's, you know, I often say to my 14-year-old daughter, it's amazing how the current generation views everything as wrong, as discriminatory, as evil. And I say, but this has happened for centuries and we got through it. We were fine. But somehow this generation wishes to challenge absolutely everything. And they're being encouraged to challenge everything. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult. I can honestly tell you that of the four kids that we have, our daughter turned 25, she's much easier to handle. But the 21 and the 14, especially the 14-year-old, are much more difficult to handle because they challenge everything. And they look at things logically, not based on a value system. You know, it's whether it's logical or it's fair. And that's basically the sole criteria they use for anything. Mm-hmm. And not everything in this world is going to be fair. And not everything is going to be logical. But that's how they want to view the world. You know, is it logical? Is it fair? And if it's not, then they have a problem with it.
Well, it's interesting, Luba, you told us a story on, and it was a public holiday, so maybe you can even repeat that story. You were out with your 14-year-old daughter on your birthday. You were having tea with her, and when you left, a couple walking in, if I remember the story correctly, he held the door open for his partner, and your daughter was horrified by that.
You know, the funny thing is she doesn't complain when I do it for her. So we were leaving this coffee shop. So I asked her to wait because the lady was older. So she walked in. Then I allowed my daughter to walk out. And then as we exited, she said to me, I really hate that, this issue where guys feel, men must do everything. Just as an aside, on the weekend, we had a braai for our 25th-year-old, and she wanted to braai the meat. And then one of the guys said, can I do this? He said, why do you think as a male you can do this better than I can do it? I want to do it. And we said, okay, sorry. We backed off. And guess what? There she was, this 14-year-old in high heels, right? Right tongs on the right hand, cell phone on the left hand, going through her Insta account and occasionally turning the meat. And we try to say nothing because it was the most hilarious scene. I mean, heels and cell phone and devoting equal time to both. And we kept trying to just say, do you mind? And she said, no, I'm perfectly fine. And they said, you know what? I think my hand is getting tired. You guys can take over. But anyway, to go back to the story, I literally just marched her back and I said, you know what? I'll try to explain this to you. And as your father, you refuse to really see the logic. And I said, let's go to this couple, and she was horrified, and I was told I was a mean parent by my other kids. And I said, look, we walked back to the couple, we found them, said, sorry to interrupt your meal while they were just sitting down. And I said, can I ask, why did you hold the door open for the lady? And he explained that he thought it was chivalrous and it was the right thing to do as a gentleman. And she said, I absolutely love it. I just wish you would do this more often. And then we got to the bill and my daughter says, but why do you guys feel you must pay the bill? We can pay our own bills. You know, we're not delinquents. And she said, well, I wish you'd pay the bill more often. Occasionally I have to remind him. And she was happy saying, I wish he would do more. And I think in part, this is my problem. my 14-year-old doesn't work, so she relies on pocket money. So she doesn't know the challenges of having to earn a salary and have to pay for things. And I said, my child, when you are working and the pressures come to pay the bills, suddenly somebody picking up the tab for you will look a lot different. And if you really want to know that the person cares for you. And so that's why I'm saying, how do I explain this concept to a 14-year-old who hasn't even started dating and who just views this as a kind of patriarchal world that must be fought against?
Absolutely. David?
Well, I think we were talking earlier about toxic femininity, you know, where we're saying that it's, you know, this idea that if a man does something for a woman, then it's degrading. It's a sign that they don't think they're capable of, for example, opening the door. They're not capable of paying for themselves. And, you know, if we reframe it as a sign of care, a sign of love, a sign of affection for a person, just like a woman could open a door for a man, just like you could open a door for a child, it's a sign of respect. It's a sign that I care. It's a sign that I acknowledge you. And I think that's again where toxic, we're going to use, maybe it's a harsh word, toxic femininity comes in, where it's all about, we're coming from the point of view where, don't do because don't think we are less than. And that's such a horrible assumption to start from, because, you know, again, if that's where you're coming from, you know, this defensive, maybe offensive point of view, you know, don't do it because don't think I'm less than, then it's immediately there's a conflict that's set up, rather than this idea that maybe a person is doing this out of care and concern and love. And it doesn't mean that you can't hold the door open for them, and that maybe sometimes you can pick up the tab. So this aggression and this feeling of like, you know, we're going to show males, you know, it becomes destructive.
It does, you know. I remember I grew up in a time where my dad did all of that. He, you know, I don't recall him having a discussion with my mother about the bond or about the HP for the car. You know, he took care of that. If we had cars at home, we always knew that he would get the nice car for my mom. And my mom knew nothing about cars. She didn't have to know anything about cars. She didn't even have to pay for the car. But they both worked. They were school principals. But he felt it as his duty to take care of those issues, to the extent that I remember when my dad passed away, my mom in some ways was left, you know, without a clue, because she just hadn't done so many things. She couldn't change a tire. She didn't know anything about cars, about many issues that he just simply took care of. Not to say that she was incapable, but he felt it was a duty. And I think the young ladies today are losing an incredible amount, because it's a sign of affection. It's a sign that says, I care for you. I worry about you. You know, if I take our domestic situation, my wife can't even book an airline ticket. She doesn't know where to go looking for one. She doesn't even know how to do online check-in. So if she's going somewhere, I'll go online, I'll book the ticket, I'll do the online check-in, I'll send it to her on a WhatsApp. She knows that on the day she leaves, she'll get a WhatsApp, there's a boarding pass. She doesn't have to know where this is done. Now, on the one hand, you could say she's being lazy, she's being disempowered. You know, our 14-year-old again came and said, Mom, how can Dad do all these things for you? The first thing we need to do is change all your passwords, because all your emails were set up by Dad. That's wrong. So she went online and changed every single password. And lo and behold, you know, a week later they were stuck. They couldn't remember them because I had them written somewhere. But my wife's always known, I do those things. If we're going overseas, here's your statement. Here's your booking. You need to go and apply for a visa. I'll drop off and I say, everything's in this pack that you need. You know, here's the hotel. Because I know my wife's the kind of person who gets to the customs desk and they say, man, holiday business, and she says holiday, and they say, where are you staying? And my wife hasn't got a clue, you know. So I have to put everything there, not because she can't, I mean, she's a very intelligent woman, but she knows that I will take care of that. There are many things that I also know that my wife will take care of. So it's not as if I look down on her. I'll give you a simple example. I always say to married couples, if you want the bills not to be paid, leave them to the man. So I know that come month end, my wife has a certain budget. I simply transfer that onto her account and I forget about it. And I know that those things will be taken care of. If she left them to me, I'll forget. So it's that kind of relationship where you know that some people will do certain things. And it's not to say that they're incapable. I could pay bills if I had to. But I just simply know that it works far better, far seamlessly if she tends to those issues. I also know that if we talk about children's clothing and all of those issues, left to me, they wouldn't have half of what they need. But she has the insight to remember certain things. So I don't interfere. And I think for me, that's the issue of saying, you know, I'm not painting somebody into a particular hole. But it's to say that they are better suited to those things. And there's certain things she expects. She will say to me, Luba, I shouldn't need to check if the car's got petrol. I shouldn't need to check the oil. I shouldn't need to check the tire pressure. If I have a husband or I have somebody in my life, that person should take care of those things. Yes, if push comes to shove, she could do those things. But as a sign of care, I should do them.
I guess, David, the question is it wrong to have blue jobs and pink jobs around the house?
Yeah. Yeah. You should just have jobs. I mean, I
know, of course we just have jobs.
Yes.
But what Luba's saying is that in a practical functioning environment, sometimes, you know, certain people do certain things and maybe some things fall more on one gender than the others. Yes. And you've got a lot to say. I can see that.
Yeah. So, you know, also, I think if you also grew up in an environment where you had the blue chores and the pink chores, uh-huh. that's what you know. That's
right.
what you're good at.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a
it's
shock
true,
now.
Because that's what you've been taught.
Yes. So it shouldn't be a shock now when all of a sudden I'm, you know, cleaning, my boyfriend's flat or right. I'm washing the dishes or cooking. It really shouldn't be a shock. Yeah.
And is it offensive? Well, I don't know if it is or not.
And but it is acts of service, guys. It's acts of service.
You know, I think that's the other thing is that when you're living in an environment and you're living in a marriage or a relationship or a family, acts of service actually are signs of care.
They're,
it's signs of love, commitment, devotion. It's what makes things.
And some of them will fit into stereotypes and could be labeled very much so as being sexist. Or, you know.
But isn't it simply the fact that if Zanati didn't grow up in that environment and she didn't want to wash the dishes and she says to her partner, you know what? I can't do the dishes.
And there are women who say that.
And he says, okay, you know what? That's cool. I'll do the dishes. You go and do something. Yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah. It's not even based on how you're conditioned. I mean, I grew up with a brother, no sisters. I never washed dishes. I never made a bed. And I went to boarding school. I didn't do either of those things. But at home, my wife is very sneaky. I'm the only guy that operates the dishwasher because I've been told, Luba, we can't figure it out.
But she's got an engineering degree, but of course she can't figure out the dishwasher. Yes.
I'm the guy that does the dry cleaner. But I'll tell you now, we travel often to Israel. My wife will say to me, Luba, I didn't have a brother. I don't know how to iron clothes. I never grew up ironing clothes, but every morning I will get up and I'll take my clothes, take her clothes, and go and iron them. Now, it's not a typical male role, so I didn't sit and say, oh, it's a pink job, you've got to do it. I just said, you know what, I don't mind doing it. So I do it, and she does, and she knows when we travel, she does, she never irons her clothes. She pulls out her outfits, puts them on the bed, and says, I'm going to go and take a shower. When I come out the shower, please make sure that they're pressed. And I will trundle down the corridor and do that. So there's a lot of things that you learn to do. I cook, but I never cooked at home. But because of the love I have for my wife.
Yeah, interesting. One of our listeners, Paulie, says, I let women go first because you never know what's on the other side of the door. It's a survival technique.
Look, I've also heard another one where people say back in the day there might be something, some danger inside the house. So in the African culture, the interesting thing is that men generally would walk in first.
Right.
So in a more rural setting where I think there'd be danger, the guy would walk first. So it's a bit of an interesting one when you mix cultures, that in the Western culture, the woman would go first, in the African culture, not necessarily so.